they finally got some guys together and said, okay, these guys need supervision because they were running kind of wild. So they brought in YMCA and Scout, established a Scout group. And we used to go out camping and do all kind of weird things. Well, we went in bushes near woods. We were very close to woods. And there were a lot of canals, okay? And the idea was that survival-wise, you know, the survival teaching, that how you cross a canal without swimming, or one guy swims across and brings a rope, and then the rest of them follow the target, in other words. Or somebody goes missing at night, we have to search at night. Mm-hmm. So they allowed scouting because there were some scoutmasters from the old country. And of course, then on top of that, because most of the guys were already kind of burnt to know how to survive. Night, when all of a sudden the alarm goes on, you got to go and look for somebody, and then somebody from your group disappears. And this was all set up, like, you know, but really, really something for kids, really. Mm. Of course, across the lake, there was a lake nearby. I forget now what the lake was. But they had the girl camps. And the idea was to raid them. You know, never really worked out too well. We had to do a lot of building ourselves, like the room where we got the headquarters, sort of. We had to fix it up ourselves and so forth, you know. Mm-hmm. Bad was originally conscripted into 1800s in the Russian forces, because the Russians were in ruling over Latvia. He was a young man, like the uniform you see here. This is not a Latvian uniform. This is all the young people was, as a matter of fact, they came and picked you up from the farm. So you wound up hiding. Unless you didn't hide, they grabbed you and took you in, and that's it. It's a Latvian battalion was there, but then when the revolution took place in Russia, there were two sides again, as always there is, whites and the reds. The reds were the communists, and the whites were the ones that were supporting the crown. Now the Reds took over, and of course at that time Latvian contingent of that army kind of disappeared to get back home, okay? And Dad had an inkling. He was very close to the border. He said, something is wrong here, because they were trying to convert them into Red Army. And he said, no, this is not right, what's going on. And he crossed the border. He actually deserted. He deserted and crossed the border and had some guards following him. And when he crossed over, he felt that he was being followed. Somebody, a couple of shots were fired and in their direction, and he got across and walked home. You see, their schooling was at that time a little bit different to what we have now, or the high school was sort of an integrated schooling, and of course, being farm boys, they had to go in there and stay a week, like a dormitory type of thing. With the Latvian government, because Latvian government said, hey, you guys were Reds. And then finally he got through that cleared. He was not red by no means. And this is why, one of the reasons he sort of, he said, well, you know, the Russians, they must have changed. They were, he'd seen it all before, what was happening, the shooting and the murdering and what was going on. He said, they must have changed. They could not carry this. And this is why we went to England instead of going to Australia or Canada or whatever else. From there we went to England. He said, we're going to go back home soon, someday. Didn't pan out. Well, what I know, that she was dead scared of them, because she had, where the hospital was, where they were located, that was right opposite the KGB headquarters, where all the torturing and the shooting and the dead people in the trucks being hauled away, okay? And they hauled in people from there, from the hospital, the staff, and questioned them. They had a nasty habit, like you would have a gun on the table, you know. And she almost overnight got gray hair. On top of that, she was also belonging to, not only as a midwife, but she was also belonging to the home guard. There was a female section, and so was my sister. So already we were more or less labeled that we were what you call subversives to them. What she seen, she was totally shocked. She never wanted to talk. She says, there's no way you're going to stay behind. Okay, and she came in and got me out, you know, to maintain them. And as the Germans were coming in, this is when they started the mass exodus of shooting and killing, okay? That's when we took off from the home to seaside, that she knew somebody there. Stayed there maybe 2 weeks or something like that, or a week, I don't know. And the place was located, this was an old lady. Her son was in army somewhere away, she was all alone. And next to her, there was these dunes, you know, like seaside dunes. There was the Russian shooting, army practice shooting gallery. So there was all kind of signs, don't enter, don't, you know. But us kids, we used to go and dig out the bullets that you could get, hit the sand. You know, there is one, go dig it out. Okay, it's all twisted. But we used to do that. Intuition. That's what it was. My sister and my mother went to the ship, and they had all the documents already to get aboard. And she said, no, not on this ship. It's something about it, you know. Like you get sometimes back of your neck hair. She says, no, we got to take something else. And lucky we did. Burned out. The near Danzig, very close to Danzig, the ship got incinerated, bombed, and started fire. And the captain didn't want to call for help, wanted to be a hero, I think. Try to bring that ship into the harbor. And by the time it got there, most of the people were lost overboard and burned out. When we went by, the ship was floating still, but it was burned out. It was huge ship burned out, just the hull. Mom had prepared.
She told me.
And how we managed to survive was she had got extra bread, rye bread, black bread, and she had dried it. And she had a big, big sack of that prepared. She said, if we have to run, this is our way. Corn! Cornbread, corn,
oh, right.
Spam, spam and corn.
So that swastika is not German.
It's not German.
It's Latvian.
That's enough.
Apparently took that swastika design and used it for them, for themselves.
Yeah.
Because it was Latvian.
It is a Latvian design. It's a, well, it's an, call it a Nordic type of trying to get across in Sweden, turn them back to Russia. And they get most of them got liquidated. Now, they could have been American, they could have been British. They more look like Spitfires. But you see, when the people congest road crossings, the Americans were coming from one side, and the British, and the Russians were pressing from other. Now, most of the people were getting away from the Russians, trying to get away. So the crossroads kind of a situation gets jammed. There's military, there is civilian, it's full. So, fair target. They fly over and you shoot. That's to putting an end to that type of thing. So, because you don't know, I don't blame the British nor the Americans. Hey, you don't know who the hell is there. Is it an army gathering? Because army is together with civilians and it's all a mishmash type of thing. So, you know, that's what happens. They're running around the tree like hell when they come from one side. You know, it seems kind of comical now, but at that time, yeah. Oh, yeah, you could see them coming in like this. One from one side, from the other side, you know, they go, turn around and come back and strafing. And when it hits a 50 caliber, when it hits the pavement, you could, you know, it leaves a decent hole, eh? Well, we had one smart guy with us. I don't know really who he was, what was his background or who, but he advised us, he said, never go in concentration. Stay out of the concentration. Stay out. So we were up the hill more, maybe half a mile away when they came in. And yeah, blood and guts all over the place. Horses, you know, the horses get shot, you know, the people get shot. The anti-aircraft nests that they had outside of the road, crossroads, fired a couple of shots at them and then ran away. Of course, so you go and strafe the place. That's it. Simple as that. So the tanks coming in there. And I think they were Patton guys,